it, and welcome, everyone. We are here and now, and this is The Holistic Way with Dr. A. I'm Dr. Jean-Paul Amante, and I'm joined by the one and only Michael, the wizard of all things IT. Thank you for being here today.
Yeah, great to be here.
And we got a good one for you, so we'll be getting right to the heart of things. That's right, we're going to be taking a holistic look at the underlying causes of all disease, all pain, all illness, refocusing on the natural ways that we can address these underlying causes. Then we'll be taking an inside-out approach as I will guide you through a simple, relaxing meditation. So stick around till the end. In the meantime, just sit back, relax, and enjoy the health.
All right, and first I want to give everyone a little background on Dr. Amante. He's a licensed chiropractor, massage therapist, and hypnotherapist with over 20 years of clinical experience. He received his undergraduate degree in psychology and biology from Wake Forest University, and then went on to earn a doctorate at Palmer College of Chiropractic West after completing his training at the Casey Riley School of Massage. For over two decades, he's been an author and educator on holistic natural health. He currently maintains a clinical practice in Virginia Beach, Virginia. He offers his signature Total Body Tune-Up, which is a unique integration of chiropractic adjustments and massage therapy. You can schedule a treatment with him at hhcare.org, that's hhcare.org, or you can find his YouTube channel at Holistic Healthcare, and he's also on social media at Holistic Natural Care. So, Dr. Amante, today we're going to be talking about what is the cause of all the pain, the stress, and the illnesses that we have, and what can we do naturally about it.
So really, when you take a big step back and look at the underlying causes and the roots of all these conditions that we have, whether it's pain, whether it's dis-ease, or certainly illness, we can either develop something or we can catch something. And it really does come down to both the internal and the external environment. And so what we're going to find is that there's a big amount of prevention that goes into this and things that we can do to help not only resist, kind of strengthen our immune system and keep it in an ideal state. Because at the end of the day, it really comes down to creating an overall balance and achieving this ideal state of harmony. Because as most people would agree, when we're in this concept of harmony, whether it's physical, mental, emotional, or spiritual, we really do feel this not only interconnection, but all the parts of the body are working together. They're functioning as one unit. But more importantly, we're able to, you know, resist any sort of outside or external threats. But on the other hand, you know, there can be conditions inside the body. If out of balance, you know, this imbalance, we're leading to this unease, and it's where we get the word dis-ease, right? And so when it really comes down to the causes of all illness, they really fall under these categories. So number one is genetics. You know, you'll hear almost every doctor say, well, there's a genetic component with everything. And obviously, we understand now that we have a very, very complex code of DNA that essentially codes to make RNA, and that RNA codes to make proteins, right? And so if something is in your genetic code, there's always the possibility. Now, does having something in our genes assuredly, say that we're absolutely going to get it?
No, not necessarily.
No, not at all. And so then, you know, we'll look at what actually triggers and stimulates that genetic code then to not only produce those types of proteins, which make us more susceptible to getting things. And with the current research and kind of cutting edge evidence, we're now looking at the epigenetics. In fact, that we can trigger genes to turn on and also switch off. And so there's a lot of factors there. So there's always that genetic component. The next one would be anything that's infectious or contagious. You know, we kind of naturally understand that if you get a cut or a break in your skin, which is obviously the largest organ in the body, kind of our natural barrier, why do we clean it out and take care of it?
Yeah, got to get the bacteria out.
Right, so to prevent an infection, absolutely, because we know that if we don't keep ourselves clean, hygienic, sanitary, etc., there's always this risk of external infection. and, you know, catching things that are contagious. But let me ask you this question again. If you have, let's say, a large group of people, and let's say, you know, one of them has a contagious disease, and let's say they're all kind of exposed to each other, does every single person in that group come down with the same symptoms and catch the disease?
No, right. We say some people have like a natural immunity to something, it seems like.
That's right. And so not everyone catches this, you know, contagious disease, we know that there is this inherent factor. And more importantly, the question should now become, well, why do some people catch these things and why some people don't? You know, it really was a head scratcher when COVID was running rampant across the globe and you had hospitals filling up with people who were on respirators and couldn't even breathe. And yet then you had a whole group of the other population that were completely asymptomatic, right? And so when we look at, you know, this cause of disease in terms of the external world, you know, it really is limited by the state of our own inner immune system. And so the next source or the next ultimate cause, you know, kind of going beyond the contagious infectious aspect of things is just certainly environmental toxins, right? And this could obviously be physical things. You know, if you're working in a lab or a heavy industrial building that, you know, you're exposed to a lot of, you know, toxic chemicals, or you're breathing in things that are full of particulate. You know, we've now identified things like asbestos and a lot of these other heavy metals, you know, from the refineries and so forth. Obviously, that's going to, you know, eventually build up in your system and cause issues. But we're also talking about toxicity in your personal environment, in your work environment, the mental, emotional things that also create the stress and that toxic environment as well. So if you're going to take a holistic approach at things, folks, you really need to look at, you know, reducing not only the physical toxic exposure to things, but also the mental, emotional things that can also be toxic as well. And so if you look at, again, these causes, they can come from, you know, either development through genetics. You can catch things that are infectious and contagious. It can come from environmental stresses and or exposure to toxic things physically, certainly mentally as well. And then the other one is, you know, obviously self-grown and self-developed, which is really one of the most fascinating and I would say kind of least understood of these causes, right? You know, you think about the top killers, so to speak, you know, aside from obviously birth, right? Which is, you know, obviously the number one. But aside from that, it's things like cardiovascular disease, strokes, cancers. Now, have you ever heard of anyone catching cancer from somebody else?
No. I mean, I know that there are viruses that can cause cancers.
Yeah.
And that gets into a whole nother, you know, muddying the waters of, is it self-grown or is it something external that then triggers something self-grown?
Right.
But right, in general, cancer is something that sort of starts inside your own body.
Right. And I'm so glad you brought that up because, yes, we have certainly found that exposure to certain types of viruses not only can predispose or increase that likelihood. Now, again, how is this possible? There's certainly a genetic component. As we know, viruses are little encapsulations of RNA and genetic material. And obviously, as they kind of wreak havoc in terms of the reactions in the body, some of those reactions can cause this. But ultimately, what is the cause of cancer, tumors, et cetera?
Cancer, it's runaway cell growth.
Right. It's unchecked cells that are now replicating in a mutated state that are outside of the regular self cells of the body. And this can happen due to lack of the cell destroying itself, which is kind of interesting when you think about that. All of our cells, all trillion of them, are literally programmed to commit hara-kiri, and they're supposed to. It's called apoptosis, programmed cell death. You know, check it out, look it up. All your cells have this ability to literally blow themselves up when it's time to go, which certainly can, you know, be applied to, you know, variety of different aspects in life. But most importantly, it's this idea of this natural turnover of things. And when that doesn't happen and the cell is supposed to, you know, undergo apoptosis and it keeps replicating, that's what ultimately creates the underlying factors for these tumors, cancers, and uncontrolled growth that's now outside of the immune system. And you could say, again, because it's left unchecked, it's kind of outside that harmonious state of, you know, and, you know, working with other cells and other tissues in the body. And even then, you know, viruses can also cause things like autoimmune disease. And think about like the prevalence we've seen now with things like celiac disease, Hashimoto's, and other autoimmune disorders. And there's certainly links even to diabetes and having a viral infection early on, that your body, in the response of the immune system, produces antibodies trying to match the virus code. And if it somehow matches or it's close to your body's own immune cells, it starts attacking itself. Hence why attacking its own pancreas can develop and lead to things like diabetes and other types of autoimmune disorders. And so that really encompasses all the different aspects. Can you think of any other way that, you know, people develop illness, disease, and such?
No, not off the top of my head. It seems like we've covered it. You've got one up your sleeve that we haven't talked about yet?
Well, no, I mean, that's essentially it. So, you know, if you can address the genetic or the epigenetic causes, if you can reduce your risk of infectious or contagious diseases, not only by keeping the external environment clean and sanitary, but also boosting your own immune system, if you can limit or completely avoid environmental stress and toxins, and certainly keeping the physical body in a sense where not only you get regular checkups, but also able to, you know, get on top of things if you start to grow or develop anything, you've really covered all of your bases. Now, the next thing that certainly we need to mention here is, why do people have pain? You know, and the number one thing that obviously brings people into my clinic and my office, and certainly the one thing that drives the healthcare industry, is this idea that pain is simply the interpretation of electrical signals, not only through the brain, but also through the heart. Now, when you look at the nervous system, if you didn't have a nervous system and you didn't have nerves, you wouldn't have pain, right? Clearly. But it's interesting the degree to which pain is a very subjective experience. I mean, could you think of a way to actually prove to someone that you're in pain or not?
No. I mean, you know, you can prove to someone, okay, there's some electrical thing going on inside my brain when you poke me. But to try to describe your experience of pain to someone, your subjective experience of pain to someone, it's like trying to explain what a color looks like to someone, yeah. Right? It's sort of impossible.
Yeah. And it's completely subjective.
Yeah.
You know, when you think about all the adjectives that we have in our vocabulary, you know, is it a jab? Is it burning? Is it aching? Sharp shooting and so forth. There's this wide array, almost like this rainbow of different, like you said, colors or experiences that we have to describe it. But at the end of the day, there's actually no objective way to ever prove you're in pain or not. And we all know that pain is relative. Interesting that you brought up, you know, even if you poke someone, you know, it might cause one person pain, it might tickle the next person, you know, or some people might like being poked and prodded. And so we have to realize that pain is an interpretation, that your sensory nerves in the body are simply providing information. And when we take a big step back and look at pain and what it truly is, it's just simply information. And it's how we interpret that information. You can see in multiple different examples how one person's pain is another person's pleasure and vice versa. And we could say that pain, you know, is temporary and letting us know that something's out of balance or maybe disharmony. Something needs to be addressed or taken care of. And so number one is we really need to learn how to listen to pain, and we also need to learn how to reinterpret it and understanding that it's just information, it's just a signal. And this relates in a lot of different ways. It could be physical pain, but it also could be mental, emotional pain. Things with regards to past traumas and things that trigger us, going through certain situations. And, it's fascinating the degree to which a lot of our decisions in the present moment are based on past pain patterns. Because obviously we're wired and geared to avoid those types of things. But what if it was the other way around? What if we were kind of conditioned and wired to always confront, the pain and just kind of duck your head and go right into it, as opposed to trying to avoid it, which seems to be the prevalent choice of our modern society, is this whole idea of pain avoidance. And one thing that I think could really improve the overall quality of life is understanding how to prevent a lot of these things, but more importantly, how to embrace it. And one thing I'm proposing in this episode is to encourage everyone to really listen to the body and kind of embrace and be with this pain or any pain that you're experiencing. And so you can simply do it right now. If you're noticing anything in the body, just close your eyes and bring your full awareness to it and kind of take a step back, as if instead of standing in the stream of this information, just sit on the riverbank and just observe it, just listen to it. If you were to give a voice to it, just listen to what it would say, the words, like we said, the adjectives it would use. Is it complaining about something? If you were to give it like a movie screen, does it have any images or visuals, anything connected to the past? Is there a memory pattern with this? And more importantly, just like you do with an upset child, just sit it down and ask it, what do you need? What is the condition here? What are the underlying causes? And just take a moment and just ask it these simple questions and just see what comes back to you. And sometimes just listening to it will allow it to calm down. And just by combining the awareness of the mind and then by using the breath, because there's a lot of pain management strategies that are very effective. Number one, we know that pain is going to be heightened when there's more inflammation, which certainly is connected to the foods and the diet that we eat. And so decreasing inflammation naturally in the diet decreases the sensitivity of these pain signals and obviously, helps in that way. But more importantly, too, notice the other aspects that are connected to it. When did this pain first start? And can you go back into that memory and look at just the few hours, maybe a few days before that, maybe even a few weeks before that, and what led up to that moment? And then if it was like an initial injury or a fall or a trauma, going back in the mind and healing that and really going back to the roots and back to the cause of pain. One of the best analogies that I really learned from is approaching pain the same way that you approach weeds in your garden. That is, you have to address it every day and don't ignore them, right? Don't try to just stifle it and block pain, or else it's just going to eventually just overgrow your garden. So every day, just be a vigilant gardener and go through and address those things. But you got to pull the weeds up from where?
From the root.
That's right. You got to find the roots and the underlying causes of these things. And so when we recognize that it's simply our interpretation of pain, well, then ask yourself, how am I interpreting this, and can I reinterpret this signal to have a different response? And I believe the answer is yes. Now, this is much easier said than done, because oftentimes we build these patterns, and the neuroscience shows that the more we fire nerves, the more they hardwire together. That's why, as we age and we consistently repeat certain things, you're really going to form these long-term hardwired connections. But the truth is that we can rewire and change this, this electrical connections anytime we want. But it does take consistent practice, and especially a lot of patience the longer something has been there. Now, if the person can't really pinpoint like a certain injury or a certain moment, Let's say they just kind of woke up with it and they're really unaware of the cause. Well, now it's time to dig a little bit deeper, and now it's time to look holistically. So for anyone listening to this podcast, if you're finding yourself like a hamster on the wheel and you've seen different therapists and multiple doctors, you've had x-rays, MRIs, tests about things, and you still can't find or pinpoint a physical underlying cause, then it's time to look deeper to the mental, emotional, and spiritual. And that's when we get into the heart, right? Not only the physical heart, but also the energetic, emotional, and spiritual heart. Because I believe that the heart of all healing ultimately is the harmonization or the realignment of all these energies on all these levels: physical, mental, emotional, spiritual. And if you're not finding physical causes and you're doing physical things, but it helps, but it keeps coming back, there's a pattern that oftentimes can be underlying, especially in the emotional centers. And when you really look at pain, it's very much an emotional experience. You know, I would dare say you can ask anybody who's dealt with chronic pain, and there's some kind of emotion that has to do with this. You know, let me give you an example. You have the loss or death of a loved one, right? That causes pain, would you agree?
Yes. Yeah.
In what organ are you going to find objective, positive signs on an x-ray or a lab test for that?
I mean, none.
Right. And so when we look at things like anger, sadness, grief, worry, all these things have to do with our hearts. And if these things aren't healed and aren't overcome, they are going to manifest themselves in some kind of physical way. So this is, you know, the breakups in relationships. This is the obviously the death and loss of loved ones. And I truly do believe that these things that lie within the center of our heart will manifest themselves physically, or they'll amplify things, right? And so if you have this underlying emotion that hasn't been healed or addressed yet, and then the physical thing comes, it almost like it just can blow it out of proportion. And you can kind of see this experience in many examples in our lives. And so when you look at what ultimately controls all the different factors in the body, right? It's the nervous system and the endocrine system. Let me repeat that again. When you look at the genetic components, what relates to healing the body from infection, contagious things, environmental stresses, toxins, and the self-developed conditions, these are all under the regulation of your nervous system and your endocrine system. Your nervous system is the electrical, fast-acting part of our body that regulates and controls everything. The endocrine system is your glands, your tissues, organs of the body that use chemicals and hormones to maintain and regulate and control everything. So if we keep the nervous system and the endocrine systems healthy and balanced in harmony, we can theoretically resist these contagious threats. We can certainly keep our, you know, our immune system and our body in balance. So then the question now becomes, what in the body is both endocrine and hormone secreting and electrical, generating electricity in the body?
Well, we certainly have parts of our brain that do
Correct.
both.
The brain is one. And what's the other one?
Oh, is it your heart?
It's your heart, absolutely. And so when we look at the two main areas in our body that are both foot in both world of electrical in the nerves and hormones in the endocrine glands, it's the brain and the heart. And now we've measured this. And guess which one is 10 times more electrically active and over 1,000 times magnetically strong?
I'm gonna guess the heart.
Oh, you're so smart. Absolutely. And so there's the heart-brain connection, and that's what the Holistic Research Academy is ultimately all about. Because so much emphasis is on the brain, which obviously is important when we consider the master glands of your hypothalamus, your pituitary, the pineal gland. And yes, folks, we will have an episode on the pineal gland and on your third eye. So stay tuned, stay with us. It's all coming eventually. But obviously your brain is packed full of neurons, right? So it does both. But your heart, we've now identified in research that not only is the heart very electrically active and wired, but it actually secretes its own hormones. And we've identified hormones now that help the heart to regulate its blood pressure, that help to regulate the secretion of electrolytes and balance the different salt uptake and things that affect the kidneys, the liver, and obviously back up to the brain. And one of those we cover, which is the vagus nerve. You know, one of the functions of the vagus nerve from the brain is to wander around the body, and a lot of its connection is to the heart. And so when we think about what parts to ultimately keep in balance and keep control, folks, it's your brain and it's your heart. If you keep these things connected, synchronized, and healthy, they will help regulate all the other organs of the body, all the tissues, all the cells. And so we know that the brain obviously has to do with our thought patterns, right? We can just think of different thoughts and see different parts of the brain light up. This is related to our sensory experience of everything that we see, not only externally, but internally. Are you aware that when you close your eyes and you imagine a scene or you imagine yourself doing something, the same areas of the brain light up with the same electrical intensity as if you're actually seeing and actually doing it? This is why visualization every day is such a powerful tool that we could all use for free. But we also know that if you think of different emotional experiences, you could also see different parts of the brain light up. And now if we just travel about 16 inches south and down south, we get to the heart of things. Now you can really start to see things light up. With the different emotions and the different thoughts, you can actually see the changes in not only the heart rate, but the blood pressure. And again, you don't even need to experience the external condition. If you close your eyes, and you have an individual go back into a very loving experience or a very traumatic experience, something that really activates the emotional centers, those thought patterns, you can measurably change and see the shifts in the frequency of the heart pattern. And so whether or not you're going through any pain, any disease, any illness, or any condition, always come back to your heart. Notice how you think about it. And you can change that. Notice how you feel about it. And you can shift those frequencies as well. And notice when we really get to the spiritual level of things, what is the lesson here? What is this condition trying to teach me? Because I promise you, folks, everything is temporary. One of my favorite words and statements of wisdom from the Tao Te Ching is everything changes except for the fact that everything changes. And here we are in springtime, right? Spring has sprung, the blooms have begun, and we can see change happening all around us. And I think one of the biggest challenges is recognizing that all pain, all illness, all disease is a temporary condition, right? Nothing is permanent. Certainly nothing within the body, nothing in nature is permanent. Everything is this constant fluctuation of change. So focus on what you're changing to. Identify any factors that you're holding on to and attached to. And we see it all the time because people will identify with their diagnosis, they identify with their conditions, and they identify with their disease. Forgetting that, again, it's just a temporary condition. Every type of condition and dis-ease, you will find cases, even the most notorious, crazy injuries and conditions, you will find people who've overcome and healed it. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think so.
It's not everybody,
right?
But you will always find some cases where the body's able to adapt, able to heal, and able to overcome this thing. And so let me ask you this too. Why is it that some treatments work miracles for some people, but maybe have no effect for other people?
Yeah, this is sort of becoming a theme, right? There's some people who seem immune to certain diseases. Others get it. There's some people who seem to be able to heal themselves from certain things, and other people don't seem to be able to do that. There's certain medicines that work for some people, not for others. I don't have an answer here. I'm just recapping this theme.
Yeah, why is it that we haven't found the one cure-all for, you know, diseases and conditions and so forth, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because it doesn't exist. Because it's all based on the individual, right? Mm-hmm. And so one thing that I've not only found myself, but that I was inspired, especially from the holistic view of the Casey readings, is what the person believes and what they hold in their mind and their heart. Meaning, if you strongly believe in this style of treatment, or you strongly believe that this condition is either permanent or not, that is going to directly relate to the outcome and how your body responds to things. Just look at the placebo effect, right? And individuals, and even just taking sugar pills, you know, thinking that this thing is the real thing, that this could actually be happening. And the more they believe in it, the more positive response they have. And the fact that we have all these clinical trials just littered with cases of people taking placebos and get better and have cures directly relates to the strength of our beliefs and how we feel about things. So when it really comes down to the heart of all healing, it begins with belief. It begins with our perspective, not only on ourselves, but also on others. And how you view the world around you directly relates to how you view the world within you. In the last episode, we talked about metaphysical alchemy, as above, so below. And so, you know, we have to address both, right? The external environmental factors, as we discuss, but also the internal inner environment that sets up the stage for either developing or healing these things. Because that's ultimately the truth. It's not that, oh, one day you're perfectly fine, the next day you're not. Your body is constantly fighting off and warding off diseases. And it's our job to know not only how we feel, what we think about ourselves, and be very mindful of that. The most important conversation you'll ever have is the one you're constantly having with yourself right now. But looking at, you know, the things and treatments and therapies that you do, and this is not only kind of, you know, where you go when you're ill, but giving yourself treatments and therapies every single day, but doing the things that you believe in and know why you're doing it and visualizing it. But it's the feeling around it. And I do absolutely believe this. You know, for example, you can see in exercise, you know, and fitness and workouts, doing the things that you enjoy doing, that really bring you this joy. And understand that joy is a verb, folks. And the more that you enjoy doing something, the likelihood that you're going to repeat it, the less likelihood that you're going to have injury and burnout as a result, versus if you're doing things because you're just going through the motions, right? Or you're trying to avoid this thing or living up to other people's expectations. If it's very superficial, then just stop doing it. So whatever it is that you do, you have to really connect to the heart, and the feeling as you're doing it plays much, much bigger impact than anything else. So again, even if you're taking sugar pills, the mind is the builder, as Casey would say. So you have to know why you're doing something, visualize the belief, and connect to the feeling. And the result is going to be different than obviously if you don't.
And I think the flip side of this placebo effect thing is also you need to make sure that you want to get well.
Right.
Right? Because just as taking something that is, you know, a placebo, if you believe in it, can help you get well, you can take a medicine that's very effective, but if you don't want to get well, you're not going to get well.
Which you bring up a really good point, which is, do you want to be better? And the fact that when people are in pain and they have illness and disease, it naturally draws attention. And this is a very challenging dynamic, especially within families. You ever notice, because obviously both of us have young children now, have you ever noticed how kids, when they take a bump, they'll kind of look up to check to see what your reaction is? And many times, if it's a very, light little thing, there's no blood or bleeding, the response can be very dramatic, especially if they need attention.
Or just the outright faked injury when they're not getting the attention.
That is the thing, absolutely. So now, if we learn these patterns and so forth when we're young, or we don't get the attention, if we don't get the caring and that heart-centered connection, why is it so implausible that these patterns wouldn't, also be present and maybe even more pronounced when we're older and adults? And now, if we feel like there's a void and we need attention, we're not getting affection, we're not getting validation in one way or another, and now we have this condition and we announce this out, and the now people give us caring intention, why wouldn't that reinforce that condition to be present, right?
If I get well, this love that I'm experiencing now is going to go away, and I don't want to lose that.
Right. And so the heart of this really has to do with finding that love and that caring affection, not only to give ourselves, but outside of the condition or the disease. Now, is this the case with all diseases? No, obviously not.
And we're not accusing people who have sicknesses of wanting to be sick, but it's an important conversation you need to have with yourself.
It absolutely is. And I think if we're truly being honest with ourselves, there is, even in all different conditions, a very small degree of something is missing in terms of that self-care and that self-treatment. As we all know, if you just, treat your body like a trash dump, and you're eating a bunch of junk and not hydrating and doing the opposite and consuming things that are very toxic for you, it's only going to last a certain while, right? And then you're going to eventually experience pain, dis-ease, and illness in some regard or another. And what is that? What are those actions but maybe a lack of self-love? Is there this unconscious kind of self-sabotaging effect in these conditions? And I would argue, in some cases, yes. And so, really, at the heart of healing, we have to ask ourselves, why do we want to be healthy? What am I going to do with this health? Am I attached to receiving some kind of attention with this disease? As people really recognize, how am I identifying with this condition, and what sort of, either attention or affection is this thing kind of generating? And how can I not only provide that for self, but how can I get this and support this from healthy habits and healthy patterns? And it's something very important to discuss, because when we look at the physical body, again, it's just the tip of the iceberg. And we now have research that healing mental and emotional trauma relieves physical symptoms and conditions in many instances, in many cases. And so, certainly, when you look at the stress response in the body, the sympathetic nervous system, that fight or flight kind of deep, hardwired response of kind of survival mode. And, if people are constantly in that survival mode, it's very difficult to rest, relax, and heal, which is the other side, that parasympathetic. And that's the one of the underlying balances and harmonies that we really need to attain, certainly with regards to the nervous system. Now, I'm going to propose a theory here that we can heal traumas, mental and emotional traumas, not only in the past, not only in the present, but also in the future. In that, this concept of time So we're now discovering isn't this linear sequence of this happens and this happens and this happens. Because all time ultimately exists when? Right now. And if all past, present, and future things happen right now, then the sequencing of events is simply there to give us this, the sequence of experience, but really they're all happening right now. And quantum research is now identifying that we can actually access future potentials and we can actually use those to change our past. Let me give you an example. You know, with regards to how we feel about our own family members and personally my own experience, by going into the future and thinking about what kind of relationship do I want to have with this person? You know, what does the future look like? It connects me to, well, how I feel about this person right now, but then immediately I think about, okay, well, this is what happened in the past, and because of the past dictates how I feel about this person. But do I always want to have the same interaction? The answer was no. So then I project the mind and move into the future and I see the interactions that I want to have and the kind of relationship that I would like to have. And then I realize the things I'm still connected to from past experiences. And so I've discovered that we can change the past. Let me repeat that one more time. You can change the past, folks. You can change the past by changing your perspective of the memory and going into any moment in your past memory by shifting your perspective and the point of your awareness, you will have a different view and you will feel differently about it. And so especially in my own relationships and my own family, when I began to understand, you know, from their perspective and truly empathizing, it's like, man, this person, they were coming at it from this perspective because that's what they learned. This was their habits, their faults, and their patterns. And maybe they didn't know any better. I don't know, but when I can really empathize and understand, it's like, okay, that's why they did what they did. And then I can now kind of separate myself from that and kind of seeing that other perspective, being like, okay, so why am I holding on to this aspect of it? And then once I begin to shift my own perspective, I'm able to let that go. I'm able to forgive what happened or understand it from a different perspective and realize there's much more things at play here. And not only that, I begin to understand, oh my goodness, this was the lesson for me. And this was the area of growth. And as soon as I'm able to do that, again, it's like plucking the weeds, but you're plucking them out by the roots. And the roots are connected to those past memories. And based on my research in cognitive psychology and memory research, you can rewrite memory patterns, right? And you can see this in PTSD, you know, and through cognitive behavioral therapy. And just like you can go into a faulty computer software and you can rewrite the software programming, folks, you can rewrite the programming of your own memories. And by shifting the memory of the past, when I come back to the present moment, I now feel differently about it.
Yeah, I think it's important to let go of this idea that your memory of the past is an objective experience, right? It's much more like the pain experience, the sensory experiences we've been talking about, where it's right. Totally subjective and you can change that.
Yes. And I'll give you another example. Back in 2014, I was involved in a high-speed car accident, you know, where a car had cut me off crossing over this 4-lane, 50-mile-an-hour road. And the car that cut me off made it across, but an oncoming car that I didn't see hit me full on 50 miles an hour. Wham! Goes up on a sidewalk, runs over a pedestrian, and slams back into the middle of the road. And from that, you know, auto vehicle accident, you know, immediately, you know, knee issues, you know, I could feel my neck, but more importantly, the last thing I heard was this honk and then wham. And so for a while, anytime I heard another car honk, it would trigger this anxiety and this panic attack. And what I began to discover over the next amount of time, in fact, that night, Into the next day, a miracle happened because I was so focused in prayer and meditation on the person that got hit, and they recovered. Thankfully, they recovered. But immediately that night, went home and did some electrostim, using my knowledge of self-massage, of visualization, all the things I just talked about in this episode. I woke up the next morning pain-free. I never had any residual physical pain from that car accident, but had a lot of anxiety. And like I said, for a while, kind of had that thing. And so, with anyone honking their car. And so, it turns out the next weekend, I had signed up to do a triathlon in Washington, D.C. And if you've ever driven around the Beltway of Washington, D.C., it is a very stressful place to drive.
Nobody uses their horn.
Oh my God, nobody. And so I remember, like, literally, I had to get a new car, and I'm driving around the Beltway, and I literally had to pull off the road because I was having a panic attack because of this. I just had an accident less than a week before. Now, folks, I'm telling you the truth here, that I was not only able to finish this triathlon, but did it pain-free and injury-free. But when I got back home, I started driving the same route of the accident because I found myself avoiding that. I was naturally avoiding things that would trigger that response. But I began to understand that the more I confronted it, and I would literally drive that same route over and over again. Every time I did, I would have that same feeling, but I began to visualize everything works out. I'm in a safe place. I'm relaxed. I'm healed. I'm okay. And I would set that intention, and I would literally make that same left turn over and over and over again. And something interesting started to happen. It didn't go away immediately, but it was a little less and a little less each time. Now, sometimes it would actually be slightly more. So it's like you take a couple steps forward and maybe a step back. But it was that gradual process, and now what we call attenuation or adapting, or as we acclimate to things. Well, you can do this emotionally too. And the same thing, as you gradually expose yourself to whatever trigger, whatever thing, it gets less and less and less in that response until one day I made that same left turn and nothing. Didn't even think about it. No panic attack, no trigger. And now obviously I can drive, people can honk at me, and it doesn't even matter. But I attribute that to the fact of gradually and very methodically exposing myself to this thing. So remember, anything that you visualize triggers the same response in the brain and the heart as if you're also doing it yourself. So even if you can't drive the same thing, folks, you can visualize going through that memory. And if you do so from an external perspective, meaning, kind of float above and visualize yourself looking at it from a third person perspective. Empathize with all the different aspects and the people that are involved, and identifying the emotions and the thought patterns, and then literally rewrite the programming and rewrite it to how you want to feel. Because here's the truth. We often think of pain, dis-ease, and illness as something happening to us. Whereas we are in much, much more control than we give ourselves credit for. And this is part of what we call self-empowerment, is taking your power back and realizing that you can dictate to the body how you want it to feel. Now, you might not feel it exactly in this moment, but I assure you, doing this on a regular basis and doing habits and actions that support this on a regular basis, you will begin to change how you feel about things. And so stop externalizing the world as attacking you. The victimization mentality is part of the thing that has to shift here. And rather than looking at pain as kind of natural response, look at terms of this is just a sensation, this is just information. From a third person perspective now, you're not attached or interacting with the thing. You're observing it. And now you can choose, how do I want to feel about this sensation? How do I want to feel about this person? How do I want to feel about this memory? And how you want to feel about it should be directly grounded into how you want to feel in the future. And so I think one of the healthiest things that we can do is come into the heart center, be honest about how we're feeling, be honest about what we're thinking in the present and in the now. And then from the present, move your mind into the future. Maybe it's later today. Maybe it's tomorrow. Maybe it's years down the road. And visualize and connect to the feeling of how you want to be, whether it's in your relationships, whether it's in the health of the or the fitness of your physical body, whether it's accomplishing your soul's purpose, a career, whatever it is. In fact, do all the above, right? But connect to that and notice as you project into the future. Notice the things that you're still connected from the past. And then in that awareness, in that feeling, you will start to develop this intuition. And you will start to get little opportunities, little inputs of, hey, to get to this point, step by step, do this, stop doing this, or this needs to change. Because I promise you, all things, all conditions are temporary and all things can be healed. But some kind of change has to take place, especially if it keeps coming back over and over and over again. So what I want to do right now is take a moment and just do a simple relaxation guided meditation. So for those of you that are listening, and if you're listening to this driving your car, please don't do this while you're driving or operating heavy machinery, or you really need to be present. Once you're able to be in a comfortable, safe, relaxing space, take a moment, just put yourself in a very comfortable position. You can close your eyes if you'd like, and just take a few moments and just focus on your breath. Just slowing down and using deep breathing, and breathe deep down into your diaphragm. If you put your hands right over your navel where your belly button is, take a few deep breaths and just expand into your hands. As you exhale, relax the body. You can even get all the breath out, draw the belly button to the spine, but keep your neck and your shoulders relaxed. Take the next few breaths to breathe fully in, fully deeply, down into the belly, and then breathe up into the heart region. Let your ribs fully open and expand. And as you relax, simply let go. As you breathe in here, I want you to bring your focus to your heart center. And just become aware of the warmth. Just become aware of the beat. Become aware of the pressure and that warm sensation in your heart center. As you do so, on your next inhalation, imagine a very warm light emanating from your heart center. And as you feel the pulse, feel that light being pumped out and moved to every cell in the body. You can also connect to a very healing sound. In fact, if you like, you can put on some background relaxing music, some healing frequencies, and imagine your heart has a sound or a lovely song. You can use a mantra if you simply want here by uttering a simple healing phrase. I am safe. I am well. I am grateful for the health and healing. And visualize and feel those changes taking place. And now every time you breathe in, imagine this light around your heart center getting stronger and brighter. That's it. It's like gradually turning up the dimmer switch on your lights, and it can go as bright and as strong as you can imagine and desire. There's no limit here. You are an infinite spiritual being. As you inhale, feel this light from the heart growing brighter and stronger, and feel this healing energy, this light frequency with every heartbeat, now moving into every cell in your body, every organ, every tissue is now surrounded by this healing light. It begins to emanate out of your fingers and your toes, out of the crown of your head, and every pore in your body, every part of your being is now bathed in this healing light. This can take any color that's special, healing, or sacred for you. They can change colors at any time. If there's any part of your being or your physical body that needs healing, focus on it now. As you bring your awareness and your breath to it, seeing it return back into harmony, back into balance. And as you exhale, allow yourself to release and let go completely of any tension, any memories, any past traumas that you're holding on to. Be honest with yourself. Why hold on to these things that no longer serve you? As you exhale, feel yourself, see yourself, hear yourself through the breath, letting it go. And there it is, released back out into the universe. Feel gravity just take over and just feel the earth holding and supporting you. You have all the love within you that you can give to yourself at any time. You have the earth holding and supporting you, and you can feel Mother Earth holding you right there. So allow yourself to just simply let go. With every exhalation, let go of that tension, let go of that discomfort, and feel the body relax. If all pain is the interpretation of electrical signals, then the pressure on those nerves can simply be changed and released. As you let go of these pressures, let go of these tensions, and feel everything returning back into balance. If there's swelling and fluids, visualize and guide the body to move the fluids back out of the area. And as you bring your awareness now to any part of the body, the heart, or mind that needs healing, take a moment and go deeply within and ask yourself, what is the condition here? What do you need? What needs to change? What am I holding on to? What's the emotional connection here? And what do I need to alter and modify to come back into harmony and back into balance? And take this moment to open up the eyes within the body and the mind to receive any guidance, receive any input, information from the body. And now activate the power of your awareness. Activate your intention. And now visualize and feel the body as you would like it to be. The body will respond with directed, focused thought and intention. Moving into the future, directing the thoughts and the emotions into how you want to feel, how you want to think about the conditions at hand and about any part of your life or any people in it. As you feel the heart center grow brighter with every inhalation, as you feel yourself becoming more and more relaxed with every exhalation, scan the body inside to out from head to toe now, as if you're sifting out any past energies that need to be released. Any past traumas are now gone. As you practice this visualization, as you practice this guided meditation on a regular basis, you will find that it gets less and gradually less. And with patience and consistency over time, we can accomplish anything that we desire. With enough consistent practice, and enough patience and enough time, anything is possible. And now deeply connect to a very loving, grateful, and respectful feeling. With every beat of the heart, feel that love, that gratitude, and that respect connect to every cell. Take a moment and tell every part of your body how much you appreciate it, how much you love it. Be grateful for having a body. Be grateful for simply being alive and having the chance and the opportunity to enjoy this moment, to help others, and improve the vibrational quality of your life and your experience. For we are here as spiritual beings to have a human experience so that we may create positive interactions and collect positive memories, because that's the only thing we get to take with us from this lifetime to the next experience is your memories. So focus on raising your vibration in your own body, in your own mind. Raise the frequency in your own heart center so that you may help raise the frequency in others and create as many positive interactions and loving experiences. So connect to a memory of when you felt loved, or perhaps when you shared this love, appreciation, and gratitude towards another person. And as you feel a little lighter, as you feel more relaxed, and as you feel connected to yourself and connected to a purpose, open up the channels within your heart and your mind and how you may be a channel of blessings and healing for others. You might get some ideas, maybe an impulse or a thought. Maybe a person comes into your mind that's going through a challenging time. Your homework for today is you come out of this meditation, you can pick up your phone, give them a call, send them a message, send them an email, or go visit them in person and tell them how much you care. Be at the ready to help other people. But first and foremost, give yourself this loving intention. And as you connect to the feeling of the heart, breathing through the heart and connecting that feeling into every part of the body and connecting to that emotion of love, gratitude, and appreciation. Visualizing where you want to go and what you need to let go of. Feel yourself now in motion. An energy in motion we call emotion. And from the emotional self, this is the heart of all healing. No matter what the cause is, if we can create healthy, positive changes in the physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual, and connect all of these frequencies into a balanced, healthy harmony, anything is possible. Well, thank you very much. That's the time that we have for today. Thank you so much for joining us. I will hope that you check out the other episodes of The Holistic Way with Dr. A. Please check out the website at hhcare.org. That's hhcare, C-A-R-E, .org. You can also find more holistic health videos, more articles. You can sign up for the weekly newsletter. You can also come into town if you're in Virginia Beach, Virginia. Schedule a total body tune-up, or if you want to do a health consult, you can schedule online too. We can have a phone call, talk about your goals, and anything that can help you to be more holistically healthier and happier. So you can check out the YouTube channel at Holistic Health Care and find me on social media at Holistic Natural Care. Thank you very much. We are through for the present.